Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio on January the 30th in 2012. This is Barbara speaking, and today, as every Monday at this time, we offer you inspiration and the opportunity to connect with your soul for the next 55 minutes. Today's topic is mother's love, and I am sure we will fill our airtime with a lot of interesting conversations around this beautiful topic. We have a guest on the show today also, Frances Key. She has a very special relationship with her mother, Terry. Frances and Terry are writing books together. Terry sends the information from the non-physical world to Frances, who delivers the messages into our physical world. Having read passages of book 1 and 2 already, I am all excited to talk to Frances and possibly Terry later on in the show. Feel free to call in during the show and share with us your stories around the topic of mother's love. Jan?
Okay, I'm trying to unmute my mic here. Hi, this is Jan, everybody. It's really great. It's great to have you with us today. Barbara has this script that she writes out, and I don't have any idea what I did with it. So I'm going to just sort of free flow here with you. I think this is an amazing topic of mother's love, because I've had some experiences with mother's love and mother relationships recently that kind of resolved some stuff throughout my life with my mother. But we can go into that a little bit later. I want to say hello, welcome. It's great to have you here. It's great to be here. And it's going to be so much fun to have our guest today with us. Barbara and I get so excited every week when it comes Monday. And there's this mad dash to get ready for the show that's like, oh, we've been preparing. Wait a minute, we forgot something. Like, for instance, I don't have my script up here. So. And this morning, Barbara was having technical difficulties with her computer. So it's just one of those things, you know, that seems to happen every single week. But that's how life is, isn't it? You know, you get to something, you think you're all prepared for this big test or this big exam or whatever it is in life, and you get there at the last minute and you go, oh my God, I've got 2 different color socks on, or something like that, something really silly like that. So if you can laugh with it, like we've learned to do over time, then that is the best way to go. So where are we now, Barbara?
You're in Oregon, I believe, and I'm in Northern Germany, and Frances is going to be in from Florida. Or where are you today, Jen?
Yep, I'm in Oregon. I'm sitting here at the library because that's where I come to do this show, is at our local library, and there's a wonderful little conference room, and I look around and there's windows and there are pictures of flowers everywhere, and it's kind of like being in nature, only inside with these flowers here. So it's really beautiful. No matter what the weather, it's beautiful.
I can say I'm very grateful that I'm inside because it's freezing cold. It's below zero here, which is the metric system, and I keep confusing. Forget it. Yes, we've got minus degrees here, and it's really, really cold outside. We have a
zero
really strong
degree today. Zero is 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Right. So that's pretty darn cold, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah,
you
were saying
on the water there, so you've got wind and moisture coming in, right?
It's very dry, actually, and it was a very, very beautiful day. It's now 9 p.m. in the evening here where I am, and we had blue sky, sunshine, really crisp winter day, just too cold because we didn't really have a winter so far, so I'm not really used to walking around in my snow boots anymore. So I really had to remind myself, put on your winter gear today because it is so cold. So I'm very grateful that I have this warm room with the heater right next to me. I have my tea here and my candle is burning, so I'm very, very comfortable. And coming back to today's show, I think we've mentioned this before. Well, I keep saying everything is connected every time, really, on the show, and I am going to say it again and again. And synchronicity is part of this. Everything is connected. And since I saw Frances promoting the books that she's writing with her mom, Teddy, I felt this pull, this urge. I really had to get in contact with her. I really had to get in touch with Frances and her energy. And ever since, it's just been a great week. I believe we've been talking for about a week now. And it's kind of spontaneous that Francis. It's going to be a great show because, the technical difficulties I had earlier were when I was preparing for the show, the printer all of a sudden decided it's not going to print anymore. Then Facebook kept locking up on me, and then we have a motion sensor light outside that just went into disco mode. It was just on off, and I was like, okay, what's going on here? So the energy I'm emanating probably, and the energies that are coming in, and the connections and everything, it's just amazing. It's just sometimes a bit annoying when I'm trying to do something technical and then everything just stops working. I think everybody has this sometimes. Just be aware sometimes that it could be the energy that's coming from you or that you're connecting with that does these things. Just, be mindful and be aware of these things. So this is our introduction, really. Most of you, I believe, are from our hardcore fan base, hardcore as in the heart and not hard rock. And so you know what we do anyway. So I'll just keep it short and sweet. I'm Barbara. I work in Soul Matters, and I'm really happy to be here.
And I'm Jan, and I work with angelic guidance. I talk with angels, and I deliver messages from angels to you. And I listen to them too because they really like to talk to me. So we have each drawn a card. I'm assuming you've drawn a card today, Barbara, for the show. And I had to laugh when I when I pulled the card. It was just so funny. It was one of those that said, me, 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 and it jumped right up. And the name of the card is the Immortal Soul, which I thought was really kind of funny because we're talking about mothers. And I know Francis' mother, Terry, has changed form and is no longer in physical form. And my mother is no longer in physical form. But the soul lives on. And I know I've had lots of connections with my mother, particularly recently. So it was kind of funny to get that card. And it's a beautiful card, and it's it shows a young woman in a bubble, a crystal bubble with a little not a halo, but I guess another little bubble above her head. And to me it shows that no matter what, your soul surrounds you. It's not only within you, but it's without you. So it's all around you, and you put on the mantle of human form while you're here. And when it's time, you shed that mantle and you go and become the full soul that you really are. So that's my card for today, Barbara.
Thank you. That's beautiful. And it does fit in very well with every show, really, and with today's show, especially because Teddy is with us. I feel strongly that I have a very good connection. It's like she's sitting here grinning and nodding at me. And just as I'm saying it, I feel a physical weight as if somebody has just sat down on my lap, which, hi Teddy, good to see you. Even if I can't see you. So the card that I drew for today, the topic we decided on or we agreed on is mother's love, because we always need, us humans in physical form, we always need a description, we always need a topic, we always need something to chew on with our mind. And over the past few days, last week's show was about the root chakra, and the work that we started doing then was pretty amazing and pretty deep going in. And the next natural logical step, logical for the mind and natural for the rest of us, really, is the releasing, really, and then going back to unconditional love. So it was quite naturally that this topic of mother's love came up to the surface. So I was sitting there concentrating, focusing on that, and I drew a card today, and the card is called Humility. And it says, all is well. Know that all is well. The definition of humility is the quality of being humble, modest, not proud, self-abasing. Humility in various interpretations is widely seen as a virtue in many religions and philosophical traditions, being connected with notions of transcendent unity with the universe or the divine, and of egolessness, By contrast, some schools of thought are sharply critical of humility. I'd like to repeat this word, egolessness, because it's not really, I think it's a good invention, this word. And then I checked what Wikipedia has to say about humility, and it says the term humility comes from the Latin word humilitas, a noun related to the adjective humilis, which may be translated as humble, but also as grounded from the earth or low, since it derives in terms from humus, earth. That gives us a really beautiful connection to the mother of all mothers, Mother Earth, and also leads back to the root chakra work that we were doing last week. And humility in connection with mother's love, I just find that truly beautiful. So I'd like to repeat what it says on the card. All is well. Know that all is well.
That's beautiful. It really is. And you know, that root chakra work that we did, I have been working with that all week long. And that is where some of the connection that I've had recently with my own mother has taken place, was as a result of that root chakra work. So that's interesting about your connection between the Mother Earth and the root chakra with the earth. That's yeah. Great. Yeah.
Everything's connected. I can just repeat myself here.
Yep, you can. Yeah.
So, let's go into the topic of mother's love. I'm a mother myself now since 7.5 years ago now. I have my daughter, and I have the addition that came then 4 years later was our son. So it feels to me like we're complete as a family. And I realized pregnancy was very interesting. In terms of, okay, people can tell me lots of things, but then it's all theoretical until I actually become pregnant and I make my own experience. And I am very grateful that I was so aware of these things and aware of my spiritual path and my beliefs and the way I look at things and my perspective, because it helped me staying grounded, really. And just, you know, looking at it as, okay, I'm pregnant, that doesn't automatically mean I'm sick. That doesn't automatically mean I'm teary all the time. I'm just a normal person, and I went dancing and everything else. So I enjoyed the pregnancy, both pregnancies really. And then when my daughter was born, it was a totally new world, because, okay, I had been babysitting. I had been tending to children before, but they were all other people's children, and all of a sudden there's this baby and that's mine. So I can say it took me a while to grow into the role of being a mother, because society expects certain things from us. And there's traditions, generations after generations of mothers always have done similar things when they were raising their children, and they still do. And the values are there, and traditions and everything else is there. And I was looking at all that and finding my own way, really, as a mother and then as a wife and as parents together with my husband. And then as my daughter started growing older, everything was changing and shifting so much. And the one thing that I found that is true for me is that I can say my love as a mother is unconditional. Whatever my children do, in inverted commas, I can't do anything else. It's just unconditional love. And this feeling, and then having added onto it with my son, was just amazing. I've just noticed that Francis is in. Hi, Francis. Can you hear us?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is it clear?
It's clear. Welcome to the show, Francis.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hello.
Hi. Well, Barbara's still talking about mother and father love. Are you done, Barbara?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I was enjoying that.
Thank you. I can hear myself in the background. Is anything, I don't know what it is. It's an echo. I'm not going to be confused. I'm just going to continue talking. So, yeah, the one thing that I realized is I am finding my own personal way of being a mother and how to handle this whole topic of mother's love and what's expected from me and what's expected from my child, what's expected from us as parents and everything else, and just be gentle with ourselves as a family. And then having the added bonus of having a second child, who is a totally individual soul also. And 4 years after the girl was born, we welcome this beautiful boy into the family as well. So now we have these two children that are 4 years apart, and it feels like they're twins sometimes to me. It's so amazing the way that they are. And looking at that, I'm the most grateful person in the world. No matter if they feel like being twins, just having these two beautiful children with me, allowing me to take care of them, it's just such an honor, you know. So, yes, for me personally, I now can say mother's love is unconditional. Whereas when it comes to, yes, okay, I have a mother also. I have a relationship with my mother, and we have made many experiences together, and we've walked through quite some stuff. It's totally different because my mom, yes, definitely is a different generation. She had to go through so many different things, and where I'm standing today, and when I gave birth for the first time 7 years ago, I have so much freedom to experience. And that's why I think, Francis, it's great that you came in just now, because the connection is there for Teddy, because Teddy was born in 1924, which was a totally different story. And when I read the bio, your bio, and the bio of you and Teddy, your mom, amazing stuff that your mother did, really. And the way you grew up was pretty modern in comparison. Yes. How other children grew up in that day and age, I would think. Is that true?
Very, very much so. She was a trailblazer. In every way. I hear that echo. I hear it's sort of like a recording coming after what we're saying.
Right. Francis, if you're using your speakers from your computer, you might want to just put headphones on. It's feedback from the speakers that we've found in the past.
Uh-oh, I don't know if I have those handy, but you know,
Well,
I saw a problem. Okay.
Can you find some headphones?
Good. No, oh, but it's gone.
Okay.
Well, I'm not talking.
I don't hear anything else.
Okay.
No, that sounds fine.
So Teddy was a trailblazer, and she gave birth to a few more trailblazers, I believe. You're a trailblazer also, aren't you, Francis?
Well, sometimes it takes until you get much older before you realize what it is, who you really are and what you really are supposed to be doing. And yes, at her memorial, someone stood up and they talked about how ahead of her time she was. And I think when you are a soul of her caliber and her wisdom, you simply can't help but be ahead of your time. She just saw things in a broader way, way back when. Broke all the rules.
That's amazing when somebody does that. I know my mother's mother was divorced. And so we're talking somebody who was born in the 1800s who went through divorce, which was so uncommon back then. So anybody, any woman who is a trailblazer is just phenomenal, no matter what age they're in, really.
Yes. Yes. But it was, you know, some of the things she did really were unheard of. started when she was 18 and came on a troop ship in the middle of World War II, and they had to zigzag with blackouts at night so they wouldn't be bombed by the Japanese on their way over here. So, and she said she just considered it another trip. It wasn't anything to her. So that just sort of gives you an idea. She was a very bold person. And she was spiritually bold. She led many others in her sphere of influence to seek out unique ways of thinking.
So can you give us an example of that?
Well, she had a bit of a following among her friends, and she was constantly reading and exploring. She broke away from her Catholic roots, although she had great reverence for the Catholic Church, and still does. But she branched out, and she was the kind of person that took everybody along with her. You know, she had that presence, and they went exploring with her. Everything from the occult to just metaphysical thought to, and this was back in the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. That was brave.
She read everything. She was a real seeker, and she inspired other people to become seekers. She activated the spiritual DNA inside of the other people that were in her world. Many female friends who were just had never heard of such things, you know.
Well, that was pretty courageous for that time.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely the word for her. And she's continuing it now. You know, she's breaking through the limitations that the Earth typically considers, you know, the rules.
My cat was getting really, really active and starting to talk. I don't know if you heard it in the background. He's my assistant, and he keeps coming in when there's something important. And he started going meow when you were talking about the 40s and the 50s. What was the main headline for Teddy in that time?
Well, in the 40s, of course, during World War II, she came over here. And in the 50s, she had me.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided when I was about 5 that she did not want to raise me in the traditional religious way that she'd been raised. And it was a big deal to walk away from the Catholic Church and say, I know there's something else out there and I want to discover it. And I want my little girl to have the opportunity to think mm-hmm. out of the box.
That's huge.
She recognized in me at a very young age a tendency towards, for lack of a better word, psychic things or spiritual intuition. And that was a part of the catalyst for her leaving the church of the Catholic Church and looking elsewhere. So we went exploring together.
That's awesome that she was so open to be able to do that with you. I mean, so often you hear about a child who exhibits some sort of intuitive or psychic ability, and the parents, along with the rest of society, tend to shut them down.
Right. No, she totally fostered and encouraged and helped me to blossom in that way.
My cat's all excited here, by the way.
I hear the cat.
So what was some way, can you tell us like one way when you were 5 years old and young and when she decided to break away from the traditions of the Catholic Church and to work with you, what was something that she did that you remember or found helpful?
At a very young age, I would talk about visitors that would come and communicate with me, and she never she just took that with a grain of salt. She never said, you know, those are imaginary friends, or those are you shouldn't talk about that or anything. She would just talk with me about it and be very open and accepting. I started writing poetry around the age of 8, and it was very, very spiritual, metaphysical kinds of concepts. She encouraged me and was very respectful and loving anything to do with my writing.
How did that translate when you went to school with your peer group and with your teachers? Did you have to learn to hide any of that, or were you able to be open, or what happened there?
Well, I think that I just didn't know that it was odd. I was just in school. I was just a good writer. And I wrote the things they told me to write about, you know. I was a bit of a misfit, you know. I wasn't accepted by the little circle of girls in the classroom. I sort of played alone or played with the underdog. But around the age of 9 and 10, the poetry really took off. And then we have a cat next door here who's going crazy now. Anyway. My mother took me to a Unitarian church, and mm-hmm. we would go to a group that met in the evening, and they would invite me to their group. These were adults, because I seemed to be very attuned to the concepts they were discussing. And one night they talked about automatic writing, and I said, oh, I do that. And my mother said, what do you mean you do that? And I said, I just do. I just let my hand move sometimes when I write those poems. Uh-huh. I didn't know it was something odd. I didn't know until they gave a name to it, you see. And so they said, well, try it. Do it now. And I did. And I talk about it in the beginning of the book as an introduction, or at the end, I think, when I say, who are Teddy and Frances Key, to give a little background on me and my mother and sort of our journey together and why all of this. It shouldn't have surprised me, but I still am totally bewildered by how this has continued in the way it has.
So from automatic writing to what you went into... dictation from Teddy, who's now residing on the other side of the rainbow, as I phrased it earlier. How did that come? Like, and you've written two books now, and you're co-authoring with her, and she just is it a classical way of channeling, or is it just she talks to you? Does it feel unnatural, or and you know, was it all of a sudden, or was it always there?
You know, it was actually very sudden. She passed away October 9th, 2010. So we're talking about 13 months ago. And 3 weeks, I think it was 19 days after she passed away. Well, first we had her memorial, and I heard her say my name the morning of the memorial, which delighted me, and I felt like I would have some connection to her, but I'd never dreamed it would come in this manner. I heard her call my name out loud in the house, fully out loud, the morning of her memorial. But a few days later, I was on an airplane to New York to see my two daughters who live there. I have four daughters, speaking of motherhood. And I formed a question to her in my mind, looking out the window, and not expecting an answer. It was more of a tearful moment for me. And I said, Mom, is there any distance for you? You know, I was looking across the clouds. And her voice just rang forth as clear as day in my mind, not out loud, but in my mind. It was like, I describe it like a person can hear a song in their mind, and they hear the drums, and they hear the violins, and they hear all the voices and the harmony voices. I mean, it happens to all of us. We can hear music in our heads very clearly. And we know that song. Okay, well, it was her. It was her voice. It was her accent. It was her energy. And she answered me. So, of course, in my mind, I continued to talk to her. And I took out a paper and I started writing down what we were saying, which was really more personal. I was talking to her about my love for her and about grief and about, because the daughter in me grieves and misses my mother, doesn't matter. Separate from the soul, I still am a daughter who misses her mother, you know. And then just as time went by, the subject matter became more universal. And I thought it would end when I got off the plane, but it didn't. It increased. And she began to talk about where she is, but not so much about where she is, but about what she now understands the purpose of our earth life is, and how things work, and how important certain things are that we are doing here. It's been just phenomenal. I've had to handwrite it all, because that's how the energy comes, and then I go and type it all up. The first book is 208 pages, and the second book is 410 pages, and that's in 13 months. The first book was written in 3 weeks. It was a constant flood. It took me longer to type it up than it did to write it. It was endless, endless energy. So her eagerness to communicate this is because, as she puts it, it's all hands on deck right now for the world.
And it's all love.
So what does that mean, all hands on deck for the world right now?
She says teams. We're all part of different spiritual teams. We have mm-hmm. missions to do, and the missions are being accelerated. She doesn't go into a lot of what we hear about with end times or any of those kinds of things, or the Mayan. I haven't really asked those questions. I don't ask a lot of questions. But she simply says that from her perspective, they can see the collision of big sheets of and waves of light, different degrees of light and darkness that swirl about the earth. I'm sorry about
Francis,
the airplane.
Francis, do you live in a flight path?
I live in Florida and have two Navy bases. I barely even hear it anymore. I'm so accustomed to it.
And training. Okay. I have a cat. You have the airplanes, so you know.
Yeah, I'm sitting outside. It's Florida. I'm sitting outside, 2 blocks from the beach, and it's hot. So,
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I interrupted you. You said that she saw the collision of light. Would you talk about that a little bit?
I will. Better yet, I'll read it to you.
Okay.
It's all hands on deck for the world right now, and one of the reasons I'm able to do this with you is because of that fact. Teams are escalating their work, bringing many things to full fruition, to prepare for a major overhaul, in a sense. These points of monumental change and revelation occur many times throughout the cycles upon the earth. We are all positioned perfectly for what is to come. From here, it is a light show. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's normally not quite this bad out here. Maybe I should go inside.
Well,
talking about World War II.
Yeah, really.
The right audio in the background.
From here, it is a light show. She's talking about from where she is. Yeah. Vibrations of great contrast are pulsating across the earth in massive sheets of color, energy, and power. There is so much varied intention swirling all around humanity, it would be impossible for things to stay the same. Our team, like all teams, is well aware of what is needed and how to maximize what we have to offer. This is but one of the reasons I am reaching out to you. And she goes on to talk about her love for us. Without reading for a long, long time, it's kind of hard to go too deeply about this. But I think the most powerful part, and I repeat it in book two, and I repeat it to myself all the time, is her opening, which is, you are not alone. You are not even really functioning as one person. Nobody is. For you are a member of a team, a spiritual team that is as near as breathing to you. And I am part of your team. And she really describes how as teams we work, that we are not as individual as we think we are.
I like that idea. And the funny thing is, I've just introduced you, Francis, to our Soul Healing Circle on Facebook. And just recently, somebody came up with the term soul team or team soul, which describes it beautifully as well. And when I started the group, I made it really clear that all souls are welcome in the group and not just in physical form, also in non-physical form. This is why when I added you to the group earlier, I welcomed you and Teddy, because I'm sure she's looking in, as are many other souls that are parts of our soul teams.
Well, she really, really has developed in book two the concept of the team. I mean, we on Earth think of teams as groups of individuals working together, but she has expanded that. Teams can work vicariously through different members.
Right.
And it's not a sense of possession any more than it is possession if somebody walks in the room when you're in there. You don't have to leave, you know, or mm-hmm. on the computer, and one of you does something for a while and the other does something for a while, and you're practically sitting in the same seat. The more unified you become with your team, the more of a channel you become for more than just yourself.
It's the blending in, really, the blended being, which that's the way I receive it, that I don't have to step back with my day conscious to be able to talk with a different voice, if you want, or let somebody else from my inner team talk or from my soul team talk. And when you were reading the first lines, "You are not alone," I got goosebumps all over again. When I read these parts from the book that you sent me or us before, I got goosebumps. I was sitting there nodding and grinning and nodding and grinning, as I do, because my soul team is going, "Yeah, you're in alignment, you're in alignment." And just now, when you were saying that you are not alone, I think that is so vital that we all understand this. And it is the what we call angels. It is the guides, the spirit, God, whatever we want to call it, and we have it in human form also. And the more we open to the possibility of help being everywhere for us, and that we are taken care of in a really good way, we are supported all the way. As it is described in one of the two books, is that university or the college, when you go in into this physical form onto the planet Earth and you live your life, it's like going to college, and you have your team that applied for your space in this college, and everybody's Definitely. Looking after you, and you have to do the work, but you're still supported. There's people in Yeah. physical or non-physical form that are always there to guide you and to walk with you. And that is just such a beautiful thought, and I think it's very comforting that we start believing yes. that and accepting this.
Well, the chapter that you're referring to is in book two, and she talks extensively about how much effort has gone into the preparation of the physical planet, but also our unique lives. There certain people had to come here before you got here, that certain people are right. souls have come in to walk by your side, and there are people coming after you who are depending on you completing certain things so that when they come, everything's prepared as it was prepared for you. That chapter compares it to parents who help a student choose a university, and how much care and planning of all of that, if it's done right, is done. So she really stresses becoming responsible for your thoughts, your actions, taking responsibility, stopping the whole victim mentality, stopping all blame of others, completely dropping any animosity towards anyone, because it's more than forgiveness. It's more a detangling yourself. Because when you do not forgive or another is holding something against you, you're like that story of the tar baby. I don't know if you know this story, where the little guy is punching and kicking this false image that's made of tar, and he's getting more and more stuck in him. So you, without forgiveness, you just complicate your karma, you complicate your life, you make that person have to owe you something, you have to owe them something, and on it goes. She's really pushing the idea of release, forgiveness, and getting yourselves free. I think the big changes are coming, and we don't want to face them in a entangled state. We need to do the work and really disentangle ourselves karmically and emotionally from things that are tying us up.
And it can be quite fun doing the work. We've been saying that over the past few shows already. Yes, it's, sometimes it's very important that we are serious. And then on the other hand, it's very, very important also to be playful. And if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, which was just somebody posted, I think it was our friend Derwin, that posted that yesterday in Soul Healing Circle. And I was just going, yeah, that's it, really. And I am happy. Yeah. And why am I happy? Because I can. It's not always that I have to give a reason. That's the unconditional love, and that's what my children are teaching me also, because they are my teachers. And then what Teddy says on love, I wrote that down actually because I found that so impressive. Your task is not to focus so much on the results, but on the impulse, on the first upsurge of intention you sense within yourself when it comes to love. And I really appreciate that, because that's me. That's the spontaneous hugging someone, or the spontaneous tears welling up in my eyes because I am so touched by somebody when they say something, or when something happens. And mostly it's happy things. People look at me often enough that I start crying when something really good happens, as in people are getting married, or somebody's proposing, and I'm just sitting there and the tears are running down my face because I'm so happy. I overflow with happiness because I can. And that is so, so important, that we come back to this innocent, childlike way of loving, of living with love, really. And this is what I really appreciate about you, Francis, and Teddy, that this beautiful, those beautiful two books, and as I understand, you're writing a third one at the moment, that this is the exact right time to come and deliver this message, because there's so much out there already, and the style that the two of you are doing this in is so natural. And it's words, it's language that everybody understands, and it's not, I'm teaching you this, and you have to do this, that, and the other. It's a conversation.
Yes.
And that's really good.
It's the mother who and the friend. She's a mother and a friend of humanity. And she truly just is spilling over with this message of love. Even more so in book two. I think the it begins and ends with the chapters on love and what love really is, and how the most freeing thing is to use the experimental approach, she says, where you play like a child. Play like a child.
I want to jump back in and address, you were talking, Francis, about taking responsibility and releasing and letting go and recognizing the parts of the team. And recently, it's been real interesting for me to notice when my judgment comes up, when my criticism of somebody or something or what somebody says or does comes up. And I've also been noticing how quickly now I come back and say, whoa, let's back off here. There is no distance. There is no difference between me and that person. We are all soul, and in the far reaching, whatever, we are one. So I need to be able to let go. It isn't that I don't have a right to judge or to say something. It's that for my own self, in order to be in a place of love, I need to be able to let go of that judgment and love the person, the words, the action, not necessarily love the words or the action, but allow that that person is in the perfect place for themselves at this time. And when I speak, to speak from a place of soul connection and love within myself. So I love that, taking responsibility for yourself, for being in that place and releasing. Thank you.
Yeah, it's all connected with the being consciously aware of our thoughts and our actions, because once we start this, there's not no way back, really, because we then continue on this path, and that makes us aware of, oh, I do have a responsibility. It's not just what I say and how I act. I am responsible for my actions, and then making a conscious choice of rather choosing love over fear, and then experiencing the results of this. I'm starting to nod and grin here because I'm doing this, and it's beautiful. And the term that's used in the books, Francis, is training your spiritual skills, which yes, that's actually it, because I believe we all have these skills and talents, and it's a matter of consciously training these skills.
Yes, she mentioned somewhere in the book that the earth is a workout gym for the soul. So you really are in training, and you really are, we really are, you know, building our muscles. And as far as the judgment thing, she points out that when you truly know that growth is eternal, There's no top. There's no mastery point. It's eternal. You lose your ego because how can you be egotistical? It's ego that makes us judge a person. We can correctly see that they're faltering or they're doing something narrow-minded or whatever, but there can be no ego when you know that there's eons above you, and yeah, probably eons of stages below you. But if growth is eternal, how can you ever have any? I don't feel I'm expressing it fully like she would. I need to read her words because the way she puts things is just so succinct. But that seems to be the turning point. It has been for me. When you really know that growth is eternal, you can have no ego about your own position. You know, we take positions.
Right. Yeah. Francis, we need to take just a short moment here to let everybody know that you're with us and they can call in and ask questions if they want. They can call on a telephone line or on Skype at BBS Radio. We want to remind everybody that Barbara and I, this is Jan, that Barbara and I are offering joint coaching sessions. So if you're interested in that, get in touch with us. We haven't posted it on the Purpose Talk Radio site just yet, but we will pretty soon. And we want to remind everybody about the music competition. Francis, if you're a musician, you can contribute too. The deadline has been extended to mid-February. We're looking for a short music, 90-second maximum, so that we can... sorry, I was looking at the thing that said Adriana's calling in, but we'll wait for that for just a minute here. We're looking for a musical piece that's no longer than 90 seconds so that we can have it for our opening and for our closing and behind the ads. Barbara, do you have anything else to add in that before we go back to
Francis? Soul music, Francis. I've listened to a few of your pieces, and they're beautiful. And I'd like to. We'll be given all your information, all your details at the end of the show, so that everybody can check out your website. The people that have been seeing the promotion that we've done before the show are already aware of Francis' private profile, and we have been posting the Facebook page also. So at the end of the show, which is in about 10 minutes, we will let you know all the information in one bit. And now, yes, we've got Adriana. She's coming in from Scotland, I believe.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Adriana. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
Just great. So do you have a question or something you want to talk about with Francis?
Well, it was more just an energy question, really, because we're doing mother healing and stuff, and I have this cord that keeps reattaching to the back of my heart, and I've done loads of healing for it over the years, but I just can't seem to get it to shift, and I wondered if you guys had any ideas.
And you say it's related to the mother topic with you, Adriana?
Yeah, very much so. I know that it's her, and I can feel her emotions through it, especially if she's like sad or down, or I can really feel it. And when I was a kid, when she was crying, I used to be crying in different places. The tears would come down my face.
And you said this is a cord to your heart. Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's like right. It's the back of my heart, so it's hard, kind of harder to reach, you know, than the cords on your front, because you can just cut them easier.
You don't want to cut them anyway. You don't want to, excuse me, Francis, you don't ever want to cut a cord. You want to make, because what happens is it leaves a root behind. It's kind of like a dandelion or a weed that's got long roots. And when you cut it, it's still there and it grows. You want to make sure that whenever you're dealing with cords and removing cords, that you loosen up the earth around them really well, make it real friable and loose, and then you can gently pull that cord out and make sure you get all of it. And make sure then that once you've removed the cord, that you bring in universal and healing energy to fill up that space so that it's not left open. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, okay, Francis, you were saying something.
Well, I wasn't real clear on your question, Adriana. I wasn't sure if you were saying that your mother had passed on.
Oh, no, she's definitely still alive.
Oh, well, then click on our question here. Okay. I think that, Jen's answer is very, very,
So, Frances, you had a really good relationship with your mother, I assume.
That's the best method of healing, as she described, gently.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Yes,
and,
very healthy and very beautiful. But of course, I've had trouble.
And Adriana, how's your relationship with your mother?
I think it's really good nowadays. It took a lot of work to get there. there was a lot of codependency stuff at the very beginning. I felt very responsible for her, and taking care of her and stuff. But nowadays, it's a lot better. It took a lot to balance out. But as a kid, I always, you know, I always felt like my job was to protect her.
Okay. So has what Frances said in her story and what her mother has had to say, has that been helpful to you?
I think it's been very helpful, and I think it's nice to get that feeling of, you know, how other people related to their parents and get that perspective, because you don't really have that. You know, it's a lot more different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And it's really nice to get that feeling, because it gives you a different model to kind of frame yourself on. I'm a really big believer in, like, finding good examples of things and then practicing, like, being that or visualizing yourself doing that, because, you know, you do imprint on your own parents. So it's good to get an idea of, you know, better versions and try and, you know, incorporate them as well, so that when you have your own kids, you do the same thing, you know?
Right, right. Well, Adriana, thank you for calling in. We're really glad that you were able to do that. I want to get back to Frances for a minute. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Frances, we're getting down on time a little bit, and I'd like to make sure that we give information for how people can get in touch with you, how they can find your book.
Okay. The website about the books is www.theteambooks.com. So it's T-H-E for the, and T-E-A-M, team, and books with a S, B-O-O-K-S, theteambooks.com. There's also a Facebook page that says The Team Books, A Mother's Wisdom from the Other Side, which is the full title of the book.
Okay.
The Team, A Mother's Wisdom from the Other Side.
And where can people buy the books? Only through the websites, or can they go walk into a shop and ask for your book?
No, at this point, it's strictly through the website.
Okay.
There's shops here in Jacksonville, Florida that had the first book that did sell some, and there was one shop in New York that had the first book and sold them. But right now, it's only through the website.
Okay. And so if somebody wanted to ask a question, that would where they'd go would be maybe the Facebook page? The team?
Yes. The Facebook page is fine. There's also a form where they can write questions and comments on the actual website, theteambooks.com website. And my email is given, so they could even email me if they want.
Awesome.
I'd just like to add that Frances is, right now, she's a member of our Soul Healing Circle on Facebook, which is an open group. Just type Soul Healing Circle into your Facebook browser if you haven't yet. Come visit us, and maybe you get the chance to chat a little bit with Frances and Teddy, because, as I said, I welcome them both into the circle and here to the show also, and I keep addressing both of you, Frances. I hope that's okay for you.
Believe how happy that makes me.
Good. Yay.
That's
because
great.
That's the feeling I'm getting. But my mind wanted to make sure that it's okay and that's the correct way of addressing the two of you, because you're a team. And there's many more members, but I don't know the names of the other members of the team.
Yes.
Okay, so we might see you on Facebook in the Soul Healing Circle. And it's great that this happened. I'm really grateful. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Frances. And I'm sure we'll meet again.
Yes, and if you give me your contact information, I'll send you the books.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Awesome.
And then we invite everybody else to come and join us in the Soul Healing Circle on Facebook, and also go to facebook.com/PurposeTalkRadio, where you can get find out where the recording is from this program. So thanks, everybody. Goodbye now, and soul blessings to all of you.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.